Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
In all the previous cases that I've been involved with, where the situation is like this here, it's always been a recovery. It's never been a
please God,
happy ending.
Bring her home.
You will start to question whether a memory is real or false only when that element of memory or that.
Why did his father leave him in a ditch in the middle of nowhere, then lie about it and disappear?
From eye scrapings and evasive nose probings to incisions in the skin, John of God has performed countless unlicensed surgical procedures, seemingly with no anesthesia, on enraptured followers.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Guess what? 2021 was the first full year of Seven Deadly Sinners. And I couldn't be more grateful for all of you and the connections I've made. And I truly feel so damn lucky that the people that listen to this podcast are people I'd love to grab a coffee with, a glass of wine. Hell, honestly, you guys are people I'd love to call my friends. But I can't guarantee that this sappy train will end anytime soon in this episode, because our very own Greg Hunter, producer, sound and music man on the podcast, has a story for you. Because Greg is far less morbid than me, and also because when I heard this story, I was like, oh, I will cry through most of it if I tell the story. But to be perfectly honest, and Greg might kill me, I walked in on him writing this, tearing up and crying several times. But this is a beautiful Christmas story for the last episode of 2021, and I think it's just perfect, because sometimes we need some good news and some stories of the human spirit showing us that we are at our core good. And this is one such story.
After a few moments, there were lighted objects raised above the German parapet. The Germans were shouting over to our trench. There's no doubt about that at all.
I think the whole thing borders on the fairy tale and may be classed with the Russians with snow on their boots and the angels of wands.
The Christmas Truce of 1914. I don't know if in my lifetime we've seen a more divided nation. Left in the wake of a politicized pandemic, the aftermath of the Trump presidency playing out through the cold glow of our digital devices, we watch a drowning democracy struggle to meet the needs of the people through a binary smokescreen of biased headlines and search engine optimization catering to our specific beliefs, not any sort of truth. In today's world, it seems harder than ever to put our differences aside and decode our fellow man on the other side of the aisle with an open hand, to put our phones down and our arms out, and call for a truce. Here's a 107-year-old headline from the Wall Street Journal to ground us. What appears from the winter fog and misery is a Christmas story. A fine Christmas story, that is. In truth, the most faded and tattered of adjectives. Inspiring. As the sun set under the trenches along the Western Front on Christmas Eve 1914, men, weary from 5 months of fighting, clung tightly to whatever token they had chosen to take from home with them. A German soldier sunken into the side of a muddy trench squeezes a photo of his love, encased in a locket, stowed securely in the same pocket since the day he left. He just wants to stare at her face for a few moments without the anxiety of counting munitions or gunfire stealing his attention. That would be a gift. A moment of peace. These soldiers had been sharing the sounds of war, the screams of their fallen comrades and the shrieking of carbine rifle fire for 5 months. But on this night, for a brief moment, they shared something holy. Silence. It would take a miracle for the military command of either side to call for a ceasefire, but the captains, colonels, and major generals' fingers were not on the triggers of the Lee Enfield rifles in the trenches. The soldiers defied their orders. A lonely hum of an old familiar Christmas carol grew into song, and in an act of holiday solidarity, the German soldiers lit their lanterns and gave in to the Christmas spirit as a chorus of enlisted men from private to sergeant major sang the German Silent Night. At 8:30 p.m., an officer of the Royal Irish Rifles reported to headquarters, "Germans have illuminated their trenches, are singing songs and wishing us a happy Christmas. Compliments are being exchanged, but I'm nevertheless taking all military precautions." The German Silent Night was quickly met with a British chorus of the First Noel, and scouts met, cautiously, in no man's land. The shell blasted waste between the trenches. The war diary of the Scots Guard records that a certain Private Merker met a German patrol and was given a glass of whiskey and some cigars, and a message was sent back saying that if we don't fire at them, they won't fire at us.
We were in the front line. We were about 300 yards from the Germans, and we had, I think, on Christmas Eve, we'd been singing carols and this, that, and the other. And the Germans had been doing the same. And we'd been shouting to each other, sometimes rude remarks, more often just joking remarks. Eventually, a German said, "Tomorrow, you no shoot, we no shoot."
That was Marmaduke Walkington of the Queen Westminster's Rifles from an Imperial War Museum video. The truce seemingly sprung up spontaneously at other spots down the trench line. Another British soldier, Private Frederick Heath. The truce began late that same night when, all down our line of trenches, there came to our ears a greeting unique in war. English soldier, a Merry Christmas, a Merry Christmas. Then, as Heath wrote in a letter home, the voices added, "Come out, English soldier, come out here to us." For some little time, we were cautious and did not even answer. Officers, fearing treachery, ordered the men to be silent. But up and down our line, one heard the men answering that Christmas greeting from the enemy. How could we resist wishing each other a Merry Christmas, even though we might be at each other's throats immediately afterwards? So we kept up a running conversation with the Germans, all the while our hands are ready on our rifles. Blood and peace, enemy and fraternity, war's most amazing paradox. The night wore on to dawn, a night made easier by songs from the German trenches, the pipings of piccolos, and from our broad lines, laughter and Christmas carols. Not a shot was fired. "We are Saxons. You are Anglo-Saxons. What is there to fight about?" one shouted across no man's land. An estimate made by Malcolm Brown of Britain's Imperial War Museum is that the truce extended along at least two-thirds of British-held trench line that scarred southern Belgium. On Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, 1914, Alfred Anderson's unit of the 1st 5th Battalion of the Black Watch was holed up in a farmhouse away from the front line. In a later interview in 2003, Anderson, the last known surviving Scottish veteran of the war, vividly recalled Christmas Day and said, "I remember the silence, the eerie sound of silence. Only the guards were on duty. We all went outside the farm buildings and just stood listening. And of course, thinking of people back home. All I'd hear for 2 months in the trenches was hissing, cracking, and whining of bullets in flight, machine gun fire, and distant German voices. But there was a dead silence that morning. Right across the land, as far as you could see. We shouted, 'Merry Christmas!' Even though nobody felt merry. Then British troops noticed at dawn, the Germans had placed small Christmas trees along the parapets of their trenches. Slowly, parties of men from both sides began to venture toward the barbed wire that separated them. Until rifleman Oswald Tilley told his parents in a letter home, literally hundreds of each side were out in no man's land, shaking hands. On Christmas Day, Brigadier General Walter Congreve, commander of the 18th Infantry Brigade, wrote a letter recalling the Germans, declared a truce for the day. One of his men bravely lifted his head above the trench line, and others from both sides walked on to no man's land.
Ein Blitzer kommt! Ein Blitzer kommt!
Jim?
Jim, don't do it!
Halt! Es nicht bewaffnet! Nein, Otto!
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto. Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Officers and men shook hands and exchanged cigarettes and cigars. One of his captains smoked a cigar with the best shot in the German army, the latter no more than 18 years old. Congreve admitted he was reluctant to witness the truce for fear of German snipers. Bruce Barnesfather, who fought throughout the war, wrote, "I wouldn't have missed that unique and weird Christmas Day for anything. I spotted a German officer, some sort of lieutenant, I should think, and being a bit of a collector, I intimated to him that I had taken a fancy to some of his buttons. I brought out my wire clippers, and with a few deft snips, I removed a couple of his buttons and put them in my pocket. I then gave him two of mine in exchange. The last I saw was one of my machine gunners, who was a bit of an amateur hairdresser in civil life, cutting the unnaturally long hair of a docile buck, who was patiently kneeling on the ground whilst the automatic clippers crept up the back of his neck." Henry Williamson, a 19-year-old private in the London Rifle Brigade, wrote this to his mother. "Dear Mother, I am writing from the trenches. It is 11 o'clock in the morning. Beside me is a coke fire, opposite me a dugout, wet with straw in it. The ground is sloppy in the actual trench, but frozen elsewhere. In my mouth is a pipe presented by the Princess Mary. In the pipe is tobacco. Of course you say, but wait, in the pipe is German tobacco. Ha ha, you say from a prisoner or a found and captured trench? Oh dear no, from a German soldier. Yes, a live German soldier from his own trench. Yesterday the British and Germans met and shook hands in the ground between the trenches, and exchanged souvenirs, and shook hands. Yes, all Christmas Day, and as I write. Marvelous, isn't it?" Captain Sir Edward Hulse reported how the first interpreter he met from the German lines was from Suffolk, and he had left his girlfriend in a 3.5-horsepower motorcycle. Hulse described a sing-song which we all, English, Scots, Irish, Prussians, Wurttembergers, etc., joined in. It was absolutely astounding, and if I had seen it on a cinematograph film, I should have sworn that it was faked. Captain Robert Miles, King's Shropshire Light Infantry, who was attached to the Royal Irish Rifles, recalled in an edited letter that was published in January 1915, following his death in action on the 30th of December 1914, Friday, Christmas Day. "We are having the most extraordinary Christmas Day imaginable. a sort of unarranged and quite unauthorized but perfectly understood and scrupulously observed truce exists between us and our friends in the front. The funny thing is, it only seems to exist in this part of the battle line. On our right and left, we can hear all of them fighting away as cheerfully as ever. The thing started last night, a bitter cold night, with white frost. Soon after dusk, when the Germans started shouting, "Merry Christmas, Englishmen," to us. Of course, our fellows shouted back, and presently, large numbers of both sides had left their trenches unarmed and met in the debatable, shot-riddled no-man's land between the lines. Here, the agreement, all on their own, came to be made that we should not fire at each other until after midnight tonight. The men were all fraternizing in the middle. We naturally did not allow them to get too close to our line, and swapped cigarettes and lies in the utmost good fellowship. Not a shot was fired all night.
And we shared fags, goodies, with the Germans. And then from somewhere, somehow, this football appeared.
Was it a proper football?
It was a proper football, but we didn't form a team. It wasn't.
The fraternization spread like wildfire throughout the Western Front trench lines of the First World War. The peaceful cooperation and camaraderie even developed into a full 90-minute soccer game played in no man's land between the Scottish and German soldiers. Ernie Williams of the Cheshire Regiment recounted, "A ball appeared from somewhere, I don't know where, but it came from their side. They made up some goals, and one fellow went in goal, and then it was just a general kickabout. I think there were a couple of hundred taking part. I had a go with the ball. I was pretty good then, at 19. Everybody seemed to be enjoying themselves. There was no sort of ill will between us. There was no referee and no score. No tally at all. It was simply a melee. Nothing like the soccer that you see on television. The boots we wore were a menace. Those great big boots we had on. And in those days, the balls were made out of leather, and they soon got very soggy."
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Lieutenant Johannes Nyman, a Saxon who served in the 133rd, recalled that on Christmas morning, the mist was slow to clear, and suddenly, my orderly threw himself into my dugout to say that both the German and Scottish soldiers had come out of their trenches and were fraternizing along the front. I grabbed my binoculars and, looking cautiously over the parapet, saw the incredible sight of our soldiers exchanging cigarettes, schnapps, and chocolate with the enemy. Later, a Scottish soldier appeared with a football, which seemed to come out of nowhere, and a few minutes later, a real football match got underway. The Scots marked their goal mouth with their strange caps, and we did the same with ours. It was far from easy to play on frozen ground, but we continued, keeping rigorously to the rules, despite the fact that it only lasted an hour and that we had no referee. A great many of the passes went wide, but all the amateur footballers, although they must have been very tired, played with huge enthusiasm. Us Germans really roared when a gust of wind revealed that the Scots wore no drawers under their kilts, and hooted and whistled every time they caught an impudent glimpse of one posterior belonging to one of the yesterday's enemies. But after an hour's play, when our commanding officer heard about it, he sent an order that we must put a stop to it. A little later, we drifted back to our trenches, and the fraternization ended. This is Mr. Rickner, a German artillery officer.
I remember very well Christmas. I remember the Christmas day
when the German and the French soldiers left their trenches, went to the barbed wire between them with champagne and cigarettes in their hands and had feelings of fraternization and shouted they wanted to finish the war. And that lasted only 2 days, 1.5 really. And then strict order came that no fraternization was allowed and we had to stay back in our trenches.
Frohe Weihnachten.
The war would resume the following day. But this true story of hundreds of thousands of soldiers being overcome by the spirit of Christmas, disregarding orders from their commanding officers to call a truce, shows us no matter how real our differences are, sometimes the bravest thing you can do is extend a hand, make a peace offering, and stop fighting. Merry Christmas from Greg and Rachel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.